From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Donald Trump questions the story of Brett Kavanaugh's accuser as negotiations continue over Christine Blasey Ford's possible appearance before the Senate Judiciary Committee. A Supreme Court nomination hangs in the balance. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal, and I'm here to talk about the latest in the Kavanaugh drama or melodrama, as the case might be. You might see it here with my colleague, Jillian Melcher. Hello, Jillian.
Hello.
And Bill McGurn. Bill, how are you?
Hey, Paul.
So my own reporting suggests that the Senate Judiciary Committee has offered Christine Ford a public hearing, if she would like it, on Wednesday. In addition to Monday, she had refused to appear on Monday, but they've said, okay, how about Wednesday? She has made other demands through her lawyer, Deborah Katz, including that she appear last after Brett Kavanaugh, which is, of course, odd, given that she's making the accusations against him and he is given to respond to those accusations. I don't think the Judiciary Committee is going to allow that. She's also asked that there be questions be asked only by the senators, not by a special counsel. And of course, the Republicans, all men on the Judiciary Committee, none of the six Republican women senators are on that committee. So they're considering getting a woman to do the questioning. Should certainly better optics for the Republicans, but Christine Ford wants only men to do the questioning, and then she's trying to limit some of the cross examination that they can conduct. She doesn't want to talk about my sources tell me, for example, what contact she had with Democrats when she went public earlier this year, who she was talking to, why she went public first in a private therapy session, or why she mentioned it to somebody in a private therapy session in 2012. All things that are limiting in such a way that it would make it harder to get to the truth.
Yeah, and I think that's really got to be the objective here. This is a serious accusation. She needs to be able to answer questions on this. And I think what we're seeing is Democrats certainly playing political games with this. We've seen that throughout how this was revealed. But I think specifically with this hearing, there have been all kinds of excuses why she can't appear, why this needs to be delayed. And I think the risk for Democrats is that this is going to look like politics.
Do you really? Okay. Bill, if you're going to get to the truth, the rudiments of due process in our system are fulsome cross-exam. I mean, not fulsome, wrong word. Complete cross-examination.
Right. Right. Look. The last thing the Democrats want here is process. I think the Republicans, you know, a week ago we heard Dr. Ford wanted to be heard, and Chuck Grassley accommodated her, even though this was after the hearings, after all the questions had been submitted. I'm hearing now she doesn't want to fly, so maybe that's why it would be Wednesday. But I don't think the Republicans can submit to this. My understanding is that there are a few Republicans that might be a little wobbly, and I think Senator Grassley and Senator McConnell have to understand and say to them, look, you're not going to be more reassured with delay, right? I mean, the people who are nervous today are going to be more nervous a week from now, because all this is designed to do is raise more questions, demand more exceptions to establish procedure and so forth, because they don't want a conclusion. They don't want people to find the truth. So I think Republicans have to, you know, the larger point about this, going back to the beginning, is Democrats cannot defeat Brett Kavanaugh's nomination. Only Republicans, or I should put it, errant Republicans, can do that. And I think the Republicans sort of lose both ways. I mean, I think the Republican voter will be furious if they see
I want to get to that, Bill. I want to get to the politics of this. But let's talk about the process a little bit here, because it strikes me that the Senate cannot allow a witness to dictate the terms of Senate questioning.
That should be simply off limits.
You can't do that.
Right. It's ludicrous. And especially because, I mean, look, even in scheduling it for Monday, Chuck Grassley could have scheduled it for this week sometime, rushed it through. He followed the general Senate rules. And I think that's a point that's lost in this, is that Senator Grassley has been trying to adhere to established norms and rules for the Senate, the way he scheduled things. Remember, when these first came up, he wanted to have a phone call between the staff. That's the normal way you do it. And everything Dr. Ford has demanded, and the Democrats have demanded, that they're the same demands, more or less, has been to go around the process, to make an end run. And it's extraordinary for a witness to demand not only to be heard, but to set the rules of the hearing.
And you need extensive cross-examination to be able to say, so to be able to question the holes in her story. And I mean, this is not, as again, I've stipulated every time we've talked about this, I don't know if she's telling the truth. I'm not saying she isn't. She clearly, let's assume she believes what she's saying. That nonetheless, by her own admission, there are a lot of holes in the story, which do relate to credibility. She didn't tell any witnesses in contemporaneous fashion. She didn't tell anybody for 30 years, right, much less contemporaneous fashion. I want to, Jillian, ask you about the rules of evidence and due process here, because you followed quite extensively the debate on college campuses over due process for sexual assault accusations. And here's a comment from Mazie Hirono, who is the senator from Hawaii. Not only do women like Dr. Ford, who bravely come forward, need to be heard, but they need to be believed. They need to be believed. That, of course, suggests without any cavil that she's telling the truth, and it must be believed because she's made the accusation.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is certainly on college campuses now in Congress and with the Supreme Court, we're seeing a presumption of guilt when it's an allegation involving sexual assault. And I think that's really troubling. I will point, just about a week ago, the Sixth Circuit, in one of these Title IX cases, upheld how important it is to have cross-examination. And they were saying specifically in cases like this, where it does come down to a credibility determination, that this is really important. It allows people to see the demeanor of the witnesses. It allows you to get into some of the difficult questions. There are discrepancies in the therapist's notes for how many people there were. Dr. Ford can't say how she got to this house or how she got home. Can't remember which house she was at. So these are all questions that are important context. And I think cross-examination really gives an opportunity here to answer some of those questions. And again, I just think it's so important that this be centered around pursuit of the truth.
Ultimately, there is no evidentiary standard in a confirmation. It really is whatever the senators decide that they want to vote on. They can vote against Kavanaugh because they think he's too preppy. They can vote against him because they, you know, for whatever reason they want to come up with. But if you're going to have this kind of spectacle before the American public, Bill, and you're going to essentially ruin a man's reputation in the process, if he is, in fact, especially if he is not confirmed, this damages him no matter what. But if he's not confirmed, they owe it to the public and to him and to the Supreme Court to conduct this in a upstanding way that gives. That tries to get to the truth as much as that is possible.
And Paul, one of the things mitigating against that, I believe, is that for you and me and most of the American people, these hearings before the Judiciary Committee have been hearings about the confirmation of a judge. But for some of the people on that committee, this is the first primary of the 2020 Democratic season. And that's why you have this wild behavior by Senators Kamala Harris and Cory Booker. So they have an incentive. The fate of Brett Kavanaugh doesn't really matter to them much, or Dr. Ford, I think. What they want to do is play to the base. And I think Jillian's absolutely right in terms of asking the questions. The Senate has an important role, advise and consent, based on talking to the nominee himself and not just seeing his answers, because anyone could read a transcript, but seeing how credible he is. There's a lot. It's like a trial. There's a lot that goes into that when you're weighing credibility. Does he look nervous? Does he look honest? And I think they owe that to them. I mean, what I thought we owed Dr. Ford is to let her be heard, which I think they've done, And we owe it to then evaluate the evidence and see where it leaves. And it's really distressing that a lot of people seem to say it doesn't matter what the evidence is.
I disagree with you a little bit, Bill. When Dianne Feinstein held this for 6 weeks,
right.
Okay, I'm not so sure they owed her a hearing, to be honest. I think they owed her maybe a private consultation.
Right. That's a fair
point.
I'm not so sure
they owed her a public hearing as she is now.
Well, they also owe part of your larger point is there is a responsibility to the Constitution and the Senate and to the integrity of the process, and that's their primary obligation. And all these exceptions kind of chip away at that.
We're talking about the confirmation battle over the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from the Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
The Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal. Another new episode is coming soon as we look at science, technology, and their influence on our lives. The Future of Everything podcast from the Wall Street Journal. The future is closer than you think.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Bill McGurn and Jillian Melchor. And Jillian, let me read you a tweet from Donald Trump. He has heretofore been quite restrained in commentary on this whole episode. But here on Friday, he said in a tweet, "I have no doubt that if the attack on Dr. Ford was as bad as she says, charges would have been immediately filed with local law enforcement authorities by either her or her loving parents. I ask that she bring those filings forward so that we can learn date, time, and place," end quote. Is that helpful intervention in this episode, Jillian?
I don't think so. And here's partially why. I think Democrats are using this as part of the Me Too movement. I think they're piggybacking off of this war on women rhetoric. And for them, it's a win-win situation. They get to defeat Kavanaugh, or they get to have this as an issue that they can continue to bludgeon Republicans on and say they're bad with women. So I think this is something that must be handled really delicately. And with that phrasing, "not as bad as she says," I just think that's a really impolitic phrase.
Mm-hmm. Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I think that President Trump served his nominee better when he just was staying out of it. He has baggage on the issue. It would have been better. But again, all this seems to me to be beside the point. The question is, this woman accuses Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault, close to attempted rape, in her words, right? And Brett Kavanaugh doesn't say, "well, we were kissing and it got out." He says, I never did this to this woman or any woman. It's a pretty black and white discrepancy over what happened. Brett Kavanaugh is saying nothing happened. And his dilemma is, how do you prove a nothing? How do you prove nothing happened?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how he does. I think it's more or less an impossible task.
The Washington think tanker and writer Ed Whalen, who we all know, has issued a Twitter feed, extensive Twitter, several tweets in a row, laying out an argument that this may be a case of mistaken identity or mistaken memory, that somebody else may have a classmate or associate of Mr. Kavanaugh in Washington at the time, 35 years ago, may have been, in fact, the person she recalls. Now, we're not going to mention his name because it's not directly relevant. Is this, in your view, mitigating at all, Jillian?
I think with this, it's a fair question to ask. This is a party where there was drinking involved, so I don't have a problem with raising the question. I think the way that it was raised was problematic and potentially defamatory. But I think that's honestly a question that would have been much better to raise in a cross-examination. How certain are you that this is the person that you think it is?
Mm-hmm. Bill?
Well, look, I think that blew up on Ed. I'm good friends with Ed. I think he's a man of integrity. And I think what he did was, rather than challenge the woman her statement. She gave very vague details, but one of the details is that it was a house close to this country club, and he tried to look there. His mistake, as he says, was actually naming someone without the evidence. So I think at this point, no one's interested. He's apologized for it. It may be a sideshow to the whole thing at this point.
Okay. The politics, though, not a sideshow. Claire McCaskill, Democrat of Missouri, running for reelection, had been on the fence, now says she is going to vote no on Kavanaugh. And I think that the inference there is that she now feels that this whole uproar over the accusation has given her cover to vote against Kavanaugh and made her job easier. She and, of course, the Democratic voters will be enthusiastic in their support for her. So in that sense, already it's paying political dividends, Jillian, for the Democrats.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've seen the tactic of trying to delay this as far back to spare some of the Democrats in purple states a tough vote. And I just think there are a lot of these seats that are going to be it's a tough political issue.
Well, I think that my own view is that if Kavanaugh is forced to withdraw for whatever reason, this will be an enormous defeat for the Republicans, certainly based on the current evidence that we have. He'll be seen, rightly in my view, as a victim of a political hit and a late hit and an unproven, maybe improvable accusation. And Republicans in the November, a lot of Republican voters are going to be demoralized about that, Bill.
I agree entirely. Listen, on Senator McCaskill, I just want to point out, I think the latest polls on Real Clear have her opponent up by 0.6 and the one before that 3 points. Now, I'm also told...
It's within the margin of error.
And I'm told that all the polls since the beginning have been within the margin of error. So it's not yet clear to me that it's going to work for Claire McCaskill. It might. But she's behind. She clearly is calculating that the voters in St. Louis and so forth, the kind of liberal bastions, she needs their enthusiasm to come out and pull ahead. It's not clear yet. I think a lot will depend on what the outcome is, whether Brett Kavanaugh is defeated or whether he's confirmed.
But a lot of Democrats think that it's going to work for them either way, Jillian, because if they don't confirm him, Republicans may be demoralized. If they do confirm them, they'll use the issue. Democrats will use the issue against Republicans. And as you said earlier, just to say, see, they don't care about women. They didn't give her a fair hearing. They treated her just like Anita Hill. And by the way, there are now two sexual predators on the Supreme Court, however unfair that is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the polling on this has been fascinating. We have seen that with voters, this has made a dent that a growing number of voters oppose the nomination. It's particularly intense among women. 42% in a poll that just came out opposing the nomination. And I think Democrats are seeing this as a political opportunity that they're excited to capitalize on it. It's fairly cynical.
Well, Jillian, just let me ask you, as a woman, a young woman, and you have a lot of peers, so what's the view of this among your peer group?
You know, I think the most interesting thing that I've seen so far is men being nervous about this and being less comfortable. There's a really interesting discussion that I was eavesdropping on in New York earlier this week, where a woman was saying, I just can't believe this. We're going to have a sexual predator on the Supreme Court, another one. And he was actually saying, not so fast here. If this can happen to Kavanaugh, it can happen to me.
Well, I think that's why accusations are tested in court and tested with cross-examination, and we don't accept them as people sometimes lie, and they will lie in particular for political ends. Again, I'm not saying that Ms. Ford is, but we knew the Duke lacrosse players were lied about, the Virginia rape case lied about. There are a lot of cases about this in the past, Bill. Last word,
I say, I think we're all agreed here. We'll go where the evidence is. If the evidence shows that Brett Kavanaugh did this, I think he'd be removed. And also, let's point out there is a mechanism. There's impeachment. He's a federal judge now. If they thought there was sufficient evidence that he did this, they could move to impeach him. But they'd much rather try him on Twitter and in the press than they would actually, mount a real legal challenge to him.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Jillian. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more, certainly, on the Kavanaugh nomination.